Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Welcome to Reality Check Live radio program, discussing topics that are close to the heart of conservative America. If you love your family, your country, and honor God, Reality Check is for you. Join Mike and Clary and their exciting guests right here on the Tantalk Radio Network and on nettalkworld.com, also on uswebtalkradio.com. Check out our website, realitychecklive.talkspot.com. And now, here's Mike and Clary.
Morning. Welcome to Reality Check Live. Good morning to you, Clary.
Good morning.
You know, presidents and vice presidents are just like everybody else. And while Joe Biden was out in Wisconsin going along and trying to support some of the Democrats' reelection, he got a little desire for some sweets, so he went into a custard shop. Now, when he went into the custard shop, the owner of the shop says, listen, if you would lower taxes, And you know what Joe Biden said?
Yes.
Stop being a...
Oh, no. He didn't say that, did he?
Smart blank. I'm getting ready to do Christian radio down the line, so I'm cleaning up my act, okay? And so, folks, this is the mindset of this administration. Speak anything out of line.
I hope he charged him double.
What's that?
I hope he charged him double for it.
Well, I hope he, you know, put a VAT tax on, at least a VAT tax, so he can help support himself. But this is the mindset of the Democrats. They are superior. Anybody disagrees with them, they are a smart whatever. But Clary, this time, why don't you just say good morning to...
Good morning, Lawrence of St. Petersburg, Mr. Wright.
Good morning, Clary and Mike. Arkansas area and Tampa Bay area. How are you this fine morning?
We're just fine, and soon the world. And before we get started with the subject that you like to talk, I just want to let the listeners know that Reality Check is going to take a two-month break, and we'll be back on the air at the end of this month in September 1st in the KLRG area, 880, and the local time there will be from 9 to 10. And Lawrence will also going to be broadcasting in Trinidad, and we're working to get a local station where I live in Sarasota. And so things are changing, and so I just want to thank everybody for supporting us. But you know what's really unique, because I was going to get off the air altogether? The Arkansas crowd really enjoys Reality Check Live, and we're going to continue doing that show while we head over to the mission field in Trinidad for 3 months in August.
Well, Mike, you have in Arkansas a 50,000-watt blowtorch station that reaches a large area. And so I'm glad to be a part of your show in that area. That's very important to our great country. So, again, I love the idea of talking to those Arkansans.
Okay. So we need to let them know that all our listeners know that we'll be on KLRG 1880.
September 1st at 9 to 10 a.m.
Yeah, mark that on your calendar.
Okay. I know I was going to let you start first, but it is my show, so I'm allowed to change.
Yeah, that's right. Please. You pay the bills, it's your show.
Okay. You know that Turkey is going to join the next flotilla going to Gaza, right?
Yes.
You know what flag,
I understand that, yes.
You know what flag they're going to be flying with, sailing with?
I'm assuming what, the Palestinian flag?
Nope.
What?
The Nazi flag.
Oh, my.
The Nazi flag.
I just got this off Israel National News.
Well, how much are the listeners out there hearing of what's going on in the Middle East right now? Is anyone hearing about the ships that have passed through the Panama Canal, our United States ships? Have they heard about the Israeli submarines that are moving into that position and the war games that they're currently practicing in the Middle East? Does that not tell you something? And I have a question for you. What is our leader, President Barack Obama, doing? Do we know?
Well, he did go up to Canada for the conference.
For the G20, and we saw how those malcontents up there were burning cars and rioting and pilfering. We saw how that's happening. But those are people that are on the left, and that's no big deal. We only want to talk about Tea Party people with bad signs.
I was going to say, not one of them were Tea Party participants there, and look at the violence and the bad behavior.
I agree, but just like our vice president plugs Biden, only do as I say, not as I do. So it's okay for them to act and do things that are counterproductive, but do as they tell us, because they are a privileged group of people, much like Alfonso Gore.
Hey, did you hear about the police report that was wrote up on him?
Oh, yeah, I know. You mean that poodle?
Yeah, he fondled a poodle.
Yes, you couldn't write this stuff if you wanted to. So now we have full circle. We have Slick Willie Clinton and the poodle Gore fulfilling their administration as sleazy, deviant human beings that know best of how to tell people how to live their life, but they are different.
You know, the American people really have to thank God that there was a Republican majority at that time after the midterm elections. Could you imagine between Clinton and Gore what they may have done if we were able to stop them?
Oh, no, I agree. And it's all about the media of how they play these stories and how they want you to think. But I'd like to throw this out. This past weekend, the topic was General Petraeus and General McChrystal. I would like to think that what has really happened, what was the message of the whole thing? And in my mind, the message was that the American military thinks the Obama administration and the job of defeating al-Qaeda, even though winning the war, which they're even terrified of what they call it, that the president is a wimp and the vice president is a blowhard and the secretary advisor is a clown, Richard Holbrooke, but all we hear is brilliant move from Obama getting rid of McChrystal, who voted for Obama and put in Bush's general, which they hated but now they love. There is no logic. There is no common sense. But people are aware of what's going on, especially you people down there in Arkansas. You know what's going on now with people like Blanche Lincoln and so forth. People are waking up. We don't sound that crazy anymore, do we?
Several psychiatrists have declared that the liberal mind, especially Rossiter. What's his first name, Mike?
His name is
Lyle Rossiter.
Yeah, Lyle.
He's a forensic scientist or
psychiatrist.
And he's he declared that the liberal mind is a mental illness, and therefore you could see it in their actions after a year and a half of being under the control of the liberals. We could see the craziness, the madness,
the wake of destruction behind them. Clary, do you know that 20% of this great country is liberal? Only 20%. And you see what the liberal administration, both Senate, Congress, and presidency, has done to this country in the direction that they've taken. It is obvious that 80% of the country doesn't agree, and so there is going to be a change, but my point is, see what the liberals do, see what the liberals have done, and now we know what's going to happen to them. Conservatism is going to take back our country.
But the only reason that they can get away with so much is because the 80% are not doing enough. You know, this says that saying that says evil will prevail when good people do nothing. And it's time that the 80% do something. Pick up themselves off their doves, off the political correctness pew, and get on and do something about this the control of this nation.
Well, the Tea Party, and by the way, this has always been bothering me. The Tea Party stands tax enough already. And the Tea Party is just a movement of the 80% that is taking back the country. And I couldn't be more excited. And so I will leave with you because I have to vacate the premises now because I have to swoop in and take care of some other issues. I would like to say God bless America because we are now taking back America.
Well, I agree.
With that, and I'm glad you don't have any time because I'm going to talk about the passing of Robert Byrd. And I don't
I'm sorry to say that, but that'll be the last Klansman in the Senate, which happened to be a Democrat, is passing.
Okay.
I wonder if they'll have white sheets at his funeral.
Well, see, that's why I didn't want to bring it up while you're gone, okay?
So all right. See you later.
You have to respect people passing on. I do.
Even Klansmen.
Okay. Anyway, thank you, folks. We're going to get ready to take a short break. We'll be right back. Well, I think, let me just see what's happening, Clary. We may be taking a short break, or I guess may be ready. I'm kind of like hyper today, so I'm not sure what we're doing. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you struggling with too much credit card debt, sky-high interest rates, late fees, over-limit fees? Having trouble just making the monthly minimums? We can help. We're Credit Card Relief. We've helped thousands of people become debt-free in months instead of years, all while saving thousands of dollars and without risking your family home. No, this isn't bankruptcy. It isn't one of those credit counseling deals or a high-interest consolidation loan. We're Credit Card Relief. We've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're an attorney-driven program with an outstanding record of performance and client satisfaction. If you're serious about getting out of debt, call Credit Card Relief right now. Don't wait for the collection calls to start. The consultation is free, and the relief is real.
Call Credit Card Relief now at 1-877-515-8148. That's 877-515-8148.
BMMI is a Sarasota-based masonry company providing complete structural concrete services and products and equipment rental for custom residential properties and waterfront homes. With 30 years of high-performance operations in the greater Manatee, Sarasota region, BMMI has achieved an outstanding reputation for thoroughness on the job and quality in the products and services that they provide. Covering a geographic area from Palmetto to Venice, including the Keys, BMMI is well known for tackling difficult residential layouts with consistently superior results. Call 941-377-5376 today to find out how BMMI can help you. That's 941-377-5376. 941-377-5376. BMMI, quality you can build on.
Tampa Bay's Tantalk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Hey, folks, we're back. We're still trying to get a hold of our guest, the Alliance Defense Fund. And one of the things that we're going to be talking to him about is how our freedoms are continuing to be taken away. One of the things that Reality Check would like to do is to warn the listeners that in the progressive school systems, from basically now from elementary school to universities, they are trying to strip away what you and I believed in, what our parents believed in, and all the way back to our forefathers in our Christian Judea values. Now, they're forcing on us tolerance. Tolerance is this, and pluralism basically means this. I come into this country, I have a different religion. Well, if I don't recognize that religion as equal to the religion that I hold true in America, that I believe our Christian Judea values, I am breaking the law, and basically I'm a hate monger, a racist, and all. And so what they're trying to do now, pluralism is saying, hey, you have to accept Islam as much as you have to accept Christianity or Judaism. And if you don't, you are a bigot, and basically you can actually be charged in the future as a hate crime And this is what's happening here in America. They're trying to make all religions look the same. And Claire, just to start before we, you know, talk about the topic at hand, think about this. If Islam was such a great religion, why is the Middle East and the people that live in the Middle East, even though they make billions of dollars every month on oil, live worse in such a poverty that it's just amazing? Take a look at Hinduism. If Hinduism is such a great religion and yoga and everything is so awesome, why the people in India and around there that worship that type of religion, why they live in extreme poverty? And why, like, you take other countries that worship maybe voodoo and other religions, why do they suffer so much? And yet, America, less than 17% of the population. And we say this all the time. When there's a world need, Clary, 78% or 77% come from America. Why? Maybe it's because the God that we trust, our Christian God that we put our hope and trust in, Clary, and that makes you think, what in the world is wrong with our university and our school systems, and why do they hate our God so much?
The bottom line is the fact that in the freedom that we give people to come to the United States, the freedom of everything, which no other country gives this kind of freedom. They give you the opportunity, and we've had more people come to the United States in 1 year than people to go to other nations in probably 5 years. And that's only my opinion, but I haven't checked up the polls on that. But the fact is, the people are coming here, and we give them the freedom to worship whosoever they want, whatsoever they want to. We don't force our religion on them. We just ask them to live by the guidelines and the rules that's set by this nation. But they're not satisfied with that. They want to come over here. They want to force you to believe or to accept that and change your ways to worship like them or else. You know, the fact is, I do what we want. We do what we want to do in our house, right? Yeah. We eat what we want to eat. We sleep when we want to sleep. And this is our place. This is our domain. This is our protection here. We pay the taxes and we live here. It's the same as the Americans in the United States. You come, if my neighbor came across and she pushed me out of my house, went to my refrigerator and took everything that I had and said, you don't belong here anymore, or you're going to have to live under my rules, then it's all wrong.
Right.
So it's the same concept as people coming from other countries, from other nations. If you like your nation so much, stay there. If you really want to come over to the United States to enjoy the freedoms of the United States, please come and go through the rules of immigration like every one of us else, and bide your time and wait for to be accepted and all of these things. Don't come in here sneaking on the other side and demand what you want. But see, when you give too much freedom, Mike, it's like opening your house to a druggie. They bring their druggy friends, and they eventually just push you in a corner and says, we take over the house now because you invited us. And this is what the illegals, this is what the terrorists, this is what the different cultures and different nations are doing. They're coming over here with the wrong attitude towards the United States, and we, the people, are allowing them to do it. Well, we need to enforce our the laws of the land.
Well, I want to bring up a story. This happened in Eastern Michigan University, and this happens to be an African-American woman. Her name is Julia Ward. Now, Julia was taking a graduate class in counseling, and during the clinicals where she was actually starting to see patients, she realized that there was going to be a conscience issue. And so, therefore, she went to her supervisor and said, listen, as a Christian, I do not carry the values of homosexuality as normal, and it's contrary to my Christian views. So the supervisor says, not a problem, to assign to a person to someone else who doesn't have a problem. See, we still have conscience laws in America, like a doctor or a nurse or somebody in a hospital that does not want to commit or be part of an abortion, they have a conscience right law. Now, under the Obama health care plan, those laws are going to be challenged continually, and forcing men and women who have a conscience, a godly conscience, to perform activities as sex change operations, abortions, etc. Well, she did everything that she was required to do, but the university says that she broke at least two rules. And one of the rules was that you have to affirm homosexuality as one's own religion. And if you don't affirm it, you're out. You have to be tolerant of other lifestyles. So if you don't affirm it and you're not tolerant, therefore you're not fit to be a counselor. Therefore, we kicked you out. We suspended you. And now ADF is going to be filing, that's Alliance Defense Fund, filing on her behalf because our Constitution guarantees us. But we got, you know, we have to understand, we have people in the White House, people in the court systems, people who are the far left mindset, who believe our Constitution is not bedrock but ever-changing, and believe that the Constitution is negative laws, as Barack Obama says, and they're not positive laws. Therefore, they really hate our Constitution and try to change it. But the dangerous thing is, Bill Clary, they're going to force on us that what is right and what is wrong, they're going to make a difference. Now, people listening to me right now, listening to us right now, saying, well, big deal. I don't care if that counselor got kicked out of school. You know, it has nothing to do with me. But if our freedoms are taken away from us and our religious freedoms, what happens to the guy who enjoys going to the neighborhood pub every night when he gets off work? He's not a drunk. He just goes to have one beer, maybe two beers before he goes hang out with his friends, play some darts and all. Well, they'll probably say, well, this is really unhealthy for you. And they'll suspend, you know, they'll suspend that activity. So they're going to continue to basically take control of our lives to tell us what we can do. And the end of it will be like Pinocchio on strings, like a puppet. And they will be the puppeteers and we're going to be the puppet. And America, I hope that don't happen.
Well, it could get worse. They could probably have people spy on you to have to find out how many times you open your refrigerator. And this is coming, America. This is coming. It's coming to the place where they are going to control, like someone said, a group of people from our church that just went to Nicaragua or Guatemala?
Nicaragua.
And they were talking about how they had to hurry up and have a quick shower because the government decides that they're going to turn the water off at certain times. And so we can only, you know, this is what's coming to the United States. We want socialism because of our lack of involvement in the things that's happening in the nation. We are saying you've got the right to do whatever you want to do with us, however you want to do with us, and we'll just bide the time.
Well, I want to back up on something.
Okay.
Go ahead. I want to back up and then continue on. You're talking about spying on it. First of all, I'm going to give you two illustrations. Right here in our own neighborhood, in our county where we live in Sarasota, Florida, Northport actually pays people who turn in their neighbor for a code violation. And I was talking to a contractor or a handyman who's making some money trying to support his family, and he put a new window in for somebody for $200, okay? What happened was the neighbor called up, got $30 for turning him in, and this contractor was fined $500 or this handyman. They're paying the neighbors to spy on neighbors. Now, next case, in England, part of the green policies, which right now is stalemate ever since Globalgate, now what they're telling the children, you need to go home, watch your parents and report to us. As you report, and they actually made like a game online, you score more points and more awards and things like that, that if your parents keep the refrigerator door open too long, let us know. If they keep the heat above the recommended standard, I guess they have, let us know. Whatever they're violating, and then they'll do that also with their food they eat, the junk food, good food, whatever. They will actually train your children to spy on you. And the dangerous thing was, and right now Acorn has been almost shut down, but part of Barack Obama's home military youth group trainings here in America, I forget what he called it, service, which is going to have more budget than all our armed services put together. And they were going to train them how to spy on you and I and to police and to serve our community. And basically, you haven't seen anything like that since pre-Nazi days and then into Hitler's Germany. This is the type of things that are going on, and America has to be really aware of it. The only reason it hasn't been able to go so far, our Constitution's holding steady because there's still enough judges in the Supreme Court and federal courts and state courts that still believe that the Constitution is bedrock. The problem is the ones that Barack Obama will be putting into judgeship on the Supreme Court, I think her name is Kagan, is absolutely horrifying to think what we could see in the future.
And we have to make sure we deal with it now before it's too late, because when people like that is in the Supreme Court, she will switch every that'll be the majority, and they will change everything. when this administration says that the Constitution is living is because it's they want to change it. That's an excuse for them to change it to what they want. Socialism and communism has been working underground in the United States since maybe 100 years ago.
And one of the reasons that you and I are going to Trinidad, we're going to be connected to a church there that has 70 churches around the world. And they asked us to come because one of the things that you and I noticed in America, that when a child grows up in church, a parent is raising their children as they believe godly. By the time the media gets through with them, the school systems get through at them, they will basically only 4 or 5% will stay working in churches or being in church. The problem with that is they are walking away from our Christian Judea morals. And once we walk away from our morality, then you can basically direct the country any way you want to, because there's no foundation, there's no bedrock for people to stand on or belief systems anymore. And once they basically convince the American people that there is absolutely no God, then the progressives could do anything they want. So the church over there in Trinidad asked us to work on a curriculum so that they will not lose their children from the political correctness and all. And he said something that was very profound, and that's one of the reasons we accepted the position over there. What happens in America happens around the world, and that's why I'm going to be able to see things from a second world perspective or a perspective outside of America and still do our show, what's taking place here in America, because it impacts the whole world. You got the last word before break.
And I would say, wake up, America. Get active. Stand for what's right. Search your hearts. Pray about it. Ask God for divine wisdom. And then let us have a change in November. I know there's some elections before that, especially in Florida here. But let us have a change in November, and let us ask God to protect the president and his family, but not let them destroy this nation.
Folks, when we get back from break, we have Julia Seymour of Business and Media Institute. We'll be right back after the break.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
ACLU demands apology for prayer at commencement. I'm Garrett Messmacher, and that's coming up next. Following the spring 2010 commencement ceremony at Montana State University, the ACLU of Montana Foundation wrote a letter to the legal counsel of Montana State University. It demanded an apology for an invocation and benediction that mentioned Jesus Christ at the recent graduation ceremony, which was given by Pastor Tim Zerger, a member of the Harv Ministerial Association. The ACLU sought the apology after allegations that university faculty had complained. The ACLU claims that the invocation was a direct violation of the Constitution because it required faculty members to, quote, attend a government-sponsored religious service. However, if the school were to have directly censored the prayer, then they would have been preventing the free exercise of religion, and such would be counter-constitutional. The ACLU mentions a few cases where similar invocations were deemed unconstitutional for primary and secondary education. However, it is important to note that when within a university, similar cases that have supported specific prayers. The ACLU is tricky and constantly needs to be exposed as they try to take away our religious freedoms.
Liberty Council is a religious civil liberties education and legal defense organization. For more information, call 1-800-671-1776.
BMMI is a Sarasota-based masonry company providing complete structural concrete services and products and equipment rental for custom residential properties and waterfront homes. With 30 years of high-performance operations in the greater Manatee, Sarasota region, BMMI has achieved an outstanding reputation for thoroughness on the job and quality in the products and services that they provide. Covering a geographic area from Palmetto to Venice, including the Keys, BMMI is well well known for tackling difficult residential layouts with consistently superior results. Call 941-377-5376 today to find out how BMMI can help you. That's 941-377-5376. 941-377-5376. BMMI, quality you can build on.
Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
I got an email from someone yesterday, and I thought it was hilarious. It's humor. So I'm going to read it. It says, over 5,000 years ago, Moses said to the children of Israel, pick up your shovel, mount your asses and camels, and I will lead you to the promised land. Nearly 75 years ago, Roosevelt said, lay down your shovels, sit on your asses, and light up a camel, and this is the promised land. Now Obama has stolen your shovel, taxed your asses, raised the price of camels, and mortgaged the promised land. So I was so depressed last night thinking about the healthcare plans, the economy, the wars, the lost jobs, savings, Social Security, retirement funds, etc. I called Lifeline, got a call center in Pakistan. I told them I was suicidal. They got excited. They got all excited and asked if I could drive a truck.
Welcome, Julia, to Reality Check Live. Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll call the council hotline after this. But listen, it's good to have you on. Julia, once again, is a Business and Media Institute. And Julia, we're going to be off the air for 2 months. And
yes.
We'll be back. Yes. And we'll be back on September 1st.
Okay.
And we're staying with KLRG, the big 50,000 watt in Arkansas, part of Tennessee and part of Texas. And we are trying to get a local station. I really want to be in my hometown of Sarasota.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we should be on a Christian station in Trinidad, which is 1.2 million, and we'll have a very big listening crowd there. So I'm excited to see what could happen in the future with you.
Absolutely. I am looking forward to that.
Okay. I have a clip already, and it's going to talk about the mortgage plan.
Sure.
Go ahead, Ed. Here we go.
Now to what may be a ray of light for the millions of homeowners struggling to hold on to their piece of the American dream, of course, their home. New figures from the Treasury show the controversial loan modification program is increasingly becoming a lifeline for homeowners, but one that's not without its share of hiccups. And Bianca Goldriga takes a closer look.
That is definitely true. Good morning, Rob. We're actually coming up on the one-year anniversary of that controversial plan. Now, the Treasury Department says that it's proud of the fact that more than 900,000 people have now been given temporary loan reductions with 3 months to get bank approval to make those reductions permanent. But many struggling homeowners say the process to qualify still takes way too long, and that's assuming some can even get help at all.
Julia, I didn't realize that many people actually got the modification program. I thought it wasn't quite low than that.
Well, apparently 1.24 million borrowers have enrolled in this program, but the interesting thing is we found out on June 21st that more than a third of them have dropped out. And the primary reason for people dropping out is that they don't qualify. In some cases, because they don't have a source of income. So this program that the media labeled ambitious and a potential ray of light is actually falling flat, according to the Associated Press. But don't expect a retraction from the network news media, because they loved it all along the way.
Well, the whole thing is, though, they were basically, if you had an income of $2,000,
mm-hmm.
one-third of that was going to be used in a modification for, I believe, for 5 years, and then your mortgage will shoot right back up to the original value, I take it. Is that correct?
I am a little fuzzy on the temporary modification details, but basically they'd enroll, they'd give them a temporary modification if they qualified, and then they had some time to work it out with their banks to try to make that permanent. And they were attempting to lower, you know, overall principal, and they, you know, that would be a way that they would be able to deal with the permanent modifications. But the problem is, you know, banks don't really want to permanently modify a lot of these mortgages because, you know, there was an original agreement that was made and that the house was worth something, and it's not really the bank's fault that the price, the worth of the house has dropped, and the banks have these loans on their balance sheet. So in some cases, the banks are saying, okay, well, getting some money is better than no money, and the other banks are saying, no, we'll keep going. Well, but the problem with the program is that it's another government program that's just completely flopped. When people keep enrolling and aren't qualified, so more than a third of them have dropped out, and actually the number of dropouts exceeds the number of people who've managed to get permanent modifications.
When you say permanent, is that a long term or a 5 year? Do you know the difference?
I assume permanent means permanent. That it
wow.
is they have completely renegotiated their mortgage.
Okay.
You know.
So let me ask you a question. Say somebody has a $200,000 mortgage. Now their equity is only worth $100,000 or the house is only worth $100,000. And they make an agreement with the bank. Does the government cover the difference? Is that what this is all about?
Yeah. This is basically the government was sweetening the deal by essentially paying banks to make these permanent changes. I doubt that they're paying them the full amount, but they're giving them some assistance so that they can bail out homeowners.
So is that why we're going to see probably a double dip in the housing market?
Well, I don't know if that's why, but certainly all of these ways that the government keeps trying to bail people out, whether it be mortgages or bankers or anybody, they say, oh, we need more economic stimulus, and all they do is keep pushing the fiscal crisis down the road. And it's the fact that our economy is still on very shaky ground that leads some people to believe we may see a double dip.
Yeah, it was interesting. I know a number of financial counselors, CPAs, bookkeepers, and they all said something to me that it's across the board. If the government would have stood out of this recession, we would have been through it by now.
Mm-hmm.
True or not true?
I'm not an economist, so I can't make that judgment. But I have read that back during the Depression, there are economists who analyzed what FDR's interventions did, and they said that his interventions during the Depression made the Depression deeper and longer. So if the same holds true, I'm sure that there are economists out there who have data to argue that point.
New York Times had an interesting piece today that they called the Third Depression. And I believe his name is, I'm probably not going to say it right, but it looks like Krugman, Paul Krugman. I think he pronounced it differently.
It's Krugman, that's how he pronounces Krugman.
Well, good, maybe he can spell it differently next time. Anyway, in 1873 was the Long Depression. Then they had the Great Depression in 1929 and 1931, he says. And
right.
What he's seeing with the recession right now, that we're going to go into what he's thinking, a long-term depression, like in 1879. Now, this is kind of weird coming from, coming from the Washington, New York Times to admit that this is possible. Are we seeing a change in part of the mainstream media? Are they really starting to look at things, or are they stopping trying to push Obama administration agenda and policies, and they're getting back to what they're supposed to do, report the news by any chance?
No, this is typical Krugman, actually. He has written op-ed after op-ed. When we were going into our recession, he was predicting that it was much worse. He called for a lot more stimulus than the government ended up using. And when the stimulus failed, he said it's because we didn't have enough of it. So he has been wholly on the side of government intervention. Pour more money in it. I don't care if we're, if it's creating a bigger deficit, we need more and more and more and more stimulus to get out of this. That has been his position all along. And I think that the timing of this, rhetorical argument that there's a third depression coming, has to do with the fact that the G20 sort of doesn't think that Obama should keep doing the stimulus route. So I think that's more his reasoning, that we need more stimulus or we're going to have a third depression, which is what the media has been saying all along, is that the economic crisis will get worse if we don't throw more government money at the problem.
Well, the fact is the government don't have the money to throw at the problem. And
exactly.
They're trying to tax people who don't have money. So it's a vicious circle there that it had to fail. This nation had to fail when you economically because of the way things are going.
Sure. I mean, we understand that the government doesn't have the money, but these liberals, they don't, or they choose not to, because they still see the government as the solution, and they continue to say we need to throw more money at the problem. The government doesn't have the money because it comes from us. It comes from the taxpayers. And if we don't have the money to give, then they're not going to have the money to spend. But you're right. It does become a vicious cycle. And that's what I mean, that they keep kicking, you know, the problem down the road by borrowing and spending more money.
Okay, let's change subjects. You wrote, actually, you must have been very busy last week because you wrote a couple of great pieces. American Morning asking experts what's wrong with shutting down the oil drilling for 4 months. Now, I thought it was interesting how the federal court threw out Obama's moratorium on drilling. And then, of course, they're going to appeal it. But it is pretty interesting what's taking place there.
Yeah, it is interesting. U.S. District Court Judge Martin Feldman struck down the administration's order of a six-month drilling moratorium on June 24th. This is actually what a lot of people in Louisiana agreed with, this order. They agreed that the order of a moratorium be struck down, because if you live in Louisiana, you understand that your economy is entirely reliant on oil drilling. And I saw at least one print newspaper story, I believe it was in the Washington Post, where Louisianans were saying, we don't want drilling to end. Like, we need this. And it's okay. You know, we're willing to accept some risk here. You know, certainly nobody wants a BP-level disaster to happen, but they weren't jumping to the conclusion that we needed to end deep water or offshore drilling. Now, of course, the Obama administration has vowed to appeal and is trying to get some sort of moratorium. But that would have, you know, tremendous consequences in the Gulf region, because so many local and state economies are reliant on oil. But CNN's American Morning was having trouble accepting that the huge economic costs are a reason not to have a drilling moratorium.
You know, the fact is that hysteria, when there's a crisis, there is certain people are so hysterical about what's happening that they're, it's like, if you have a toothache, it's like, I'm never going to eat again, you know? Stupidity.
or I have a toothache, so let's pull out all of our teeth.
Right. it's really stupid.
Yeah, let's just gum everybody. We can fix the world by gumming everything. Okay. Now, when they were talking to the experts, of course, these people in the mainstream media were trying to make Louisiana deify them. The governor, Goodell, deify him. Demonize him. Excuse me. Thank you, Clay. That's why I'm married to somebody to correct me. But the experts are saying this. The problem is not BP. The problem is the government for not pointing out the regulations and monitoring it, because we have laws on the book. This is a government breakdown. Let's face something. You know, I learned something from a theologian years ago. Man is basically evil with a proclivity to do something good. We all know that if we can get away with something, most of us are going to try to get away with something.
Right.
That's why we have laws, and that's why we police those laws. And then adding more laws to the books is not going to change nothing.
No. You're right. And this, in many, the BP disaster happened. BP did things wrong, but the government also failed. The regulators failed. They were cozy with the oil people. They chose, you know, not to enforce regulations. BP was given passes on certain requirements. So the government certainly does have a responsibility here and should be taking some share of the blame. On American Morning, Jim Acosta and Carol Costello were discussing this issue with Tom Bauer, who wrote a book called Oil, Money, Politics, and Power. And they were grilling him because he dared argue that there shouldn't be a drilling moratorium, and he said that the government does, you know, have some responsibility here. And you're right. Jim Acosta also took a dig at Republican Governor Bobby Jindal. He had mentioned to the governor, and then he said, is there a little bit of have your cake and eat it too when it comes to some of these Gulf Coast politicians saying we want the jobs and the protection from any environmental impact at the same time? I think that's a little bit unfair since, you know, certainly Governor Jindal didn't want this disaster to happen. It's a horrible thing that his state is going to have to deal with. And if the federal government claims to be protecting states from oil spills by having an entire federal agency devoted to policing the oil industry and drilling rigs, and they fail, he has a right to say, you screwed up and you need to fix it.
You know what, though? We need another czar.
Yeah, right.
let's be honest. We're talking about hundreds. I didn't realize it was hundreds of thousands of jobs that are sitting idle right now. And the big fear is that these drilling companies are moving their rigs into other countries where they can do the drilling. America cannot afford to be any more dependent on foreign oil because the world that we live in is so unsteady. North Korea, South Korea. Iran, there's a lot of prediction that Israel is, you know, making plans to attack Iran. What happens if Iran is attacked? Boom. Do we lose, you know, oil is going to, gasoline will probably go up $4 or $5 a gallon.
Yeah. I mean, there are consequences. And if we impose a drilling moratorium, there are huge consequences. Bauer explained that every single drilling rig costs at least $500,000 a day. And so if they're just being forced to sit idle, the contractors are going to move the rigs to other places in the world because they aren't going to just eat those costs. They can't afford to, for one thing, and they're not going to because it doesn't make any sense. So, you know, they're going to move them if they're forced not to drill in the Gulf. And we learned in the 70s that if we don't have, you know, more choices for our energy needs, that we can be held hostage by, you know, another country, and we don't want that to happen.
Well, it seems like America can't afford not to drill in the United States, but our government can afford it because they want to keep us, and they're under the bondage of them, so they can regulate and they can buy oils from foreign countries and sell it to us at a major price so they can tax us a little bit more. It's all money everywhere, but they don't realize that it doesn't work because if the people don't have the money to buy, then we'll all go into a deeper depression.
Yeah, and certainly if oil prices go too high, we saw this when oil prices, you know, we're climbing above $3 and closer to $4. There was a huge cutback. You know, people realized, okay, I don't have to drive this much because I don't like paying those prices. And there were serious cutbacks, and they had economic ramifications throughout, you know, everything because people weren't driving as much. If they, you know, they cut back. At a certain point, you do cut back. And then the revenue cuts back, too, for the government. So,
but two good things will come out of it. We'll all get slim from walking so much, and we'll ride bikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in some places, people have those areas, but some people really do have to drive places because they live in, you know, a remote area or something, and it hurts those people the most if our prices go out of control.
We always start our own rice paddies and live like the peasants in China. We got to move on, Julia. I want to thank you for being with us for the past year and a half, I believe. And I'm looking forward to having you back. You will be back. I hope you choose to come back in September, and we'll keep in touch with you. So once again, tell
That sounds great. If your listeners would just visit our website, businessandmedia.org, and newsbusters.org and mrc.org. We have lots of stuff for you. Please, you know, keep checking back with us, and I look forward to talking to you guys again in September.
And one talking point, Media Research Center, I got a bumper sticker from them. I don't believe the liberal media. Folks, get one. Thanks, Julia. God bless you.
Sure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And now it's time for Insights with Dr. Mom, dealing with family issues of the day and discussing a common sense way to solve the problems we're all faced with our families today. That's Insights with Dr. Mom, heard right here on Tan Talk Radio on Reality Check. And now, Dr. Mom.
The height of the summer with its heat, humidity, and rain is here. Hurricanes are threatening our coast. Almost everyone has become extremely busy. Finances are slipping away fast. While families and friends descend on us, taking much of our time, our energy, and our space. With our children bored and dissatisfied, we look forward to the beginning of the new school year. With all that is going on in our lives today, we need to take a little time to reflect on God's goodness and tell Him thank you for the things we have taken for granted, like the air that we breathe, the sunshine, healthy bodies, food to eat, a roof over our heads. Then we can ask Him to help us through the hard times, the desperate moments, and the several crises we face as a nation. He promised He will answer our cry, and He is big enough to sort out all our problems, headaches, heartaches, tiredness, frustrations, and fears. But you may say, I've done that, and I've done all these things, and they're still driving me crazy. Well, this is when I stand on God's promises that said, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able. But with every test, He will make a way of escape that you can be able to bear it. God knows how much we can handle and wants us to hide away with Him so He can encourage us with His supernatural strength. Today I felt that my batteries were running low and I needed a power boost. So I prayed, Lord, I need you to recharge me today. Almost immediately, I felt I was being pulled into a warm, snug embrace. In my heart, I could hear the words, rest and relax. All is well. I'm here with you. Don't be afraid. I know God answers prayers, and there is no age limit with Him. We can all be His precious, adorable little children if we put our trust in Him. This is Insights with Dr. Mom. God is real and powerful. He wants to bless us beyond our wildest dreams. Reach out and get plugged into His love and power source. You will be glad you did.
Folks, thank you so much for being with us on Reality Check Live. We appreciate doing the show. And I really want to say a special thanks to those who listen to us on 880. Thank you for supporting our show. Thank you for keeping us on the air. We're looking forward to getting new sponsors so we can stay in Florida. And we thank you so much. And if you're interested in sponsoring our show, we will be back on the air. And that will be in September. And our email address is realitycheck.live@yahoo.com. realitycheck.live@yahoo.com. Thank you so much for being part of our show. God bless you and God bless America.
America.
You just called out my name.
You've been listening to Reality Check right here on your Tan Talk Radio Network stations and Net Talk World Global Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in today. To hear more, go to our website, realitycheck.com.